I'm going to ask you a question tonight that may actually be offensive to some. And the question is this: are you saved? It's a question that often confounds many otherwise faithful Christians. In part, those of us from what might be considered the evangelical wing of the church have a lot to do with this question and the spiritual and perhaps even existential crisis that it has the potential to cause. American evangelicalism, with its undeniable focus on the concept of a personal relationship with Jesus, which is not a bad thing, but it perhaps has unfortunately, unwittingly contributed to an identity of Christian salvation that is so highly dependent on a tangible and memorable salvific experience that if one does not have a personal testimony, or even if one does have a personal testimony, if they don't have a feeling down deep inside of their person that they are saved, then they fall prey to the notion that personal feeling is somehow an objective indicator of personal salvation. On Maundy Thursday, we commemorate the night 2,000 years ago when Jesus would gather with his disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Passover feast, the collect for Holy Thursday that was prayed just a few minutes ago to start our service. That prayer reminds us of the truth of something outside of our subjective and often untrustworthy personal feelings, that something that actually scripturally and objectively should remind us of the reality of our salvation, and it is this. On the night before he suffered, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. And that tonight, as in every time we approach our Lord's altar to receive the blessed elements, we experience in that approach and through those elements the real presence of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. How does this happen? I'm afraid it's beyond my pay grade to be able to worthily explain that to you, but I assure you, it is what it is because Jesus Christ himself says it is what it is. You'll notice in tonight's collect that it references that these, quote, holy mysteries, unquote, give us a pledge of eternal life. Rather than attempt to explain how something happens like this, perhaps more importantly, we Christians should simply be in awe and in a state of perpetual gratitude that through a holy mystery, our God makes it happen. We should be in awe and in a perpetual state of gratitude that through a small piece of unleavened bread and a tiny sip of wine, our God assures us that he is not only present, but that we are his forever and ever. When by faith we receive the blessed sacrament, we receive God's assurance of our salvation, regardless of what our feelings may be. Can a little piece of bread and a tiny sip of wine really do that? No, not really. But Christ can. And when we accept that Christ can be and in fact is present in the sacrament, and we receive that sacrament by faith, then we receive Christ, his body mingling with our bodies, his blood mingling with our blood. The benefits of his perfect life, death, and resurrection overriding, covering the reality of our imperfect, sinful lives, otherwise destined for hell, except by the body and blood of our Lord. There are some Christians who, for whatever reasons, do not or will not believe this reality. They claim a theology that sees the Lord's Supper as memorial only in nature. And make no mistake about it, the sacrament of our Lord's table is a memorial. But it is so much more than just a memorial. How can I say that? Because I'm only repeating what my Lord and Savior has said. Hear again the words from our gospel reading tonight in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 51. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." The gospel writer John goes on to tell us that the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves and asked, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, salvation. And I will raise them up at the last day. Salvation. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." John goes on to tell us on hearing this that many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" And in verse 66, from this time forward, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. My brothers and sisters, it is no coincidence that the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, took place during the celebration of the Passover. In St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth in the 5th chapter, verse 7, St. Paul declares, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us." We heard tonight in our Old Testament lesson about the Passover meal. Every Jew celebrating the Passover 2,000 years ago and today would understand this truth. It is not the death of the sacrificial Passover lamb that brings the sacrifice to completion. The completion of the Passover sacrifice and the benefits derived from keeping the Passover come in the eating of the flesh of the Passover lamb. It is no wonder that John the Baptist said of Christ when he saw him, "There's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." It is no wonder that Christ declared of himself, "I am the bread of life." It is no wonder that Christ declared, "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And at the risk of being offensive to those who would relegate the Blessed Sacrament as a memorial act only, it is no wonder that Scripture tells us that 2,000 years ago, some of Christ's own disciples walked away from the very source of their salvation, saying, "This is a hard teaching." May the hearts of the faithful, saved by the blood of the Lamb, have ears to hear this good news this evening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.